News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. What's going on, y'all? We are looking at a sunny day. The humidity remains kind of low. We have a slight chance of a shower. And so can it be a comfortable 92? Dr. Bill was trying to sell us on that during his forecast that yesterday was a nice and comfy 92.
Well, it can be an uncomfortable 92. We know that.
It can be an uncomfortable 82.
It can, but it has been nice having some of that lower humidity.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Bill said, some your usual summer afternoon thunderstorms definitely in the forecast. So there's some potential. We see some of that even starting today. It looks like later in the weekend and into next week, that percentage chance of rain increases. And before we get into what we want to talk about, I did want to read this text just so I don't leave it behind. But this texter said, yesterday everyone was saying the polls say El Saeed 90%. Texter said, was that 90% that he would win or that he would get 90% of the vote? Because if it's the latter, boy, were they wrong again. No, and what we were reading yesterday, that was directly from the Kalshi prediction market app, which means Polymarket was probably trading around the same number. They were giving El Saeed a 98% chance of winning. Not that he would receive 98% of the vote.
No.
But that he would, there was a 98% chance he would win. And you're right, Dexter. The market was way off on that because they still haven't called that race between Abdul El Saeed and Congresswoman Haley Stevens, who are running in the Democratic Senate primary Michigan.
I'm not just throwing rocks at people who are not conservatives here, but she's off her rocker, too.
She is.
So, I mean, he's a socialist, and she is...
socialist light? Maybe more?
Awkwardly weird. Let's just start there.
Yes, that's apparent whenever you see a video of her. But I guess the big shift in the race last night that I was kind of lightly following were the mail-in votes that came in heavily in her favor, which was not expected. And so that's too close to call at this point.
Well, did you hear him talking about all that? He was kind of inferring
that there was a little tomfoolery going on?
A little hanky-panky with the votes? Yeah, let's see. He said that...
there he is. Well, while you look for that, I'll say right now the vote stands at, with over 95% of the votes in, El Saeed at 48.48% and Haley Stevens at 47.5% of the vote.
Here, I don't think he addresses the hanky-panky as much as he addresses the spending against him.
We all knew they were going to spend their money. We didn't know they were going to spend $70 million of their money. We didn't know that they were going to outspend us $11 to $1.
He also said, it seems to take a lot of time to count votes in Michigan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay.
Now, was he trying to sound like Barack Obama there?
Probably.
The intonation of his sentence? They didn't know, did they?
He did a y'all in one of the... quotes I had.
That's for South Michigan. Do they say y'all in any part of Michigan?
I don't know that they do. He did.
Oh, man. So, yeah, too close to call. And I know one texter yesterday, we were already moving past this primary. And again, as two dudes who don't live in Michigan and certainly weren't following this race as closely as hopefully some radio hosts in Michigan were.
Yeah, well, let's give them credit that they probably were following more closely than us.
Just when, you know, when the odds with millions and millions of dollars gambled had him at 98% chance winning, we had moved on to the general and saying, hey, if he came in like this, it might be an issue for the Republican that'll be running against him, Mike Rogers. Well, there was a texter yesterday that said, if El Saeed beats Mike Rogers, I'll eat my shorts. Mm. And that texter was probably right, and I hope they threw, if they are that type of person, and God bless them if they aren't, I hope they threw a little money on Stevens to actually win that race.
That texter is also somebody who has strange habits.
Eating shorts.
Yeah.
Speaking of strange habits, going to a city council meeting and arguing about seems anything. There are just people out there that go and do that. And when you bring up pets, right, and you bring up dogs and you bring up rules around those pets and dogs, you are going to get some pushback.
You are, and it's almost like we're kidding about this, or they were kind of joking around about this. The owner of B&B Pet Stop was talking about some of these rules and how they would apply.
He came in to weigh in on the maybe, let's call them more non-traditional pets you can have as a...
exotic.
Yeah, more of the exotic animals.
Yeah.
But this conversation, which we've had for years, you know, it's been a conversation. I don't know when the first time I hopped on the air to talk about pit bulls and similar breeds, but I'm guessing it was sometime around after when I started working here back in 2014. It's been a conversation we've been having for a very long time, and it just so happens that the conversation that's happening at Mobile City Council is also right now raging online on social media. There's big conversations about whether it's okay to single out pit bulls and similar breeds for the violence that they are capable of, and maybe creating rules specifically around controlling those types of dogs, those types of dangerous animals. And the big, I guess, discussion this week, I don't know if it comes off the heels of this actor, John Bernthal, who he makes some pretty wild statements from time to time. And I believe he was in the newest movie that came out, The Odyssey, which, by the way, side note, movie theaters having a fantastic year. You had The Odyssey that opened up a couple weeks ago, and then Spider-Man. I didn't realize Spider-Man was coming out last week, but our hotel in Pennsylvania was right next to an AMC theater, and it was dang near impossible to get into the hotel because there were so many people coming and leaving to see the new Spider-Man movie.
I was like, people were staying at the hotel to go to the movie theater.
No,
like a football game.
It was like a single drive that went back to both places, and all kinds of people dressed up like Spider-Man. But anyway, so this John Bernthal is in one or maybe both of those movies, and he was in an interview, and he said that more or less that not liking pit bulls is dog racism, which is kind of an argument that I've seen out there a lot. That's part of the discussion now at City Council, because they have a definition of high-risk animal, which that's what they're saying will lead to fines or higher fines if you have some of these high-risk animals that aren't leashed or staked into the yard properly, just aren't being controlled in some form or fashion. That list is Doberman Pinschers, Pit Bulls or American Bull Terriers, Rottweilers, Chow Chows, Wolf Dogs, Wolf Hybrids, Presa Canarios, Akitas, or any mix thereof containing a significant part of the above breeds. And I know our listeners, many of them know well about pit bulls and how dangerous they are because they've texted in about it plenty, but I also know the other side because I have people that argue this, that I know personally really well. And as soon as I bring this up, they hop into that camp. Well, it's not the dog, it's the dog owner. The dog owner, and I've had pit bulls my whole life, and they've never attacked anyone.
Right.
And you always are going to hear those arguments, and that's what we were hearing at the city council meeting.
Right, and so here's the counter-argument. So dogbites.org, okay, so, you know, I have not vetted this website, but anyway, I'm going to tell you about some numbers I get from the website.
Which, props to you. I don't know how you found dogbites.org.
It wasn't hard. So if I did it, it's not hard. Yeah. Anyway, it talks about the deadliest breeds, this is by numbers, deadliest breeds in America, pit bull terriers, and Rottweilers. Research from dogbites.org shows that during a 15-year period, 2005 to 2019, canines killed 522 Americans. Pit bulls and Rottweilers accounted for 76% of those, I guess you would say, deaths or murders. I don't think the person wanted to be eaten alive. During the 20-year government study period, that was 79 through 98, there were 238 dog bite-related fatalities. With breed information, the breed information was studied. The combination of pit bulls and Rottweilers accounted for 50% of those deaths. It's also important to point out that, so the pit bulls and Rottweilers, 50% of the deaths, that was in that government period beginning in 1979. Important to point out that during that period, pit bulls inflicted fatal dog attacks at a rate of 6.5 times the
standard dog.
Rottweiler.
Oh, the Rottweiler.
Even over the second-rated dog, mm-hmm. pit bulls were much more. It's well-documented that pit bulls pose a unique danger to citizens and pets due to their selective breeding for dogfighting, not just recently, but this has happened for decades, evidently. Unlike other dog breeds, pit bulls frequently fail to communicate intention prior to an attack. It's kind of a surprise attack. Also possess a lethal bite style, which is hold and shake. And all of this coming off part of my journey to Vermont for a nephew's wedding. Something was left behind a rental house. We had to go pick it up. Ended up at a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Vermont. And they said, yeah, we've got it. Come get it. There was a guy in the driveway and his pit bull. And when I opened up the door, the pit bull came right to me. But he wasn't threatening in any way.
He wasn't frothing at the mouth.
It was just like a dog visiting me, checking me out. But I think about that now, that mm-hmm. part of the pit bull's strategy is don't let him know you're about to do it.
Well,
I'm glad I'm here.
That may be more of just a dog thing than a pit bull thing.
Maybe.
And so I've had family members, not incredibly close family members, but my cousin, when we were in college together, he didn't have a pit bull, but he had an American Bulldog, which was a mean-looking so-and-so. I mean, he named him Samson. That was the name of the dog,
yeah.
Right? And so you'd think that my cousin, who's a large man on his own, that large man, large dog, he'll be able to control it or whatever, but, you know, he wasn't able to control that dog, and eventually that's how the dog ended up dying. He didn't attack anyone, but
wow.
He was loose, and you know what happens when dogs get loose and they don't make it back. That's exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
So if he couldn't control the dog from getting out, that means he also wouldn't have been able to control it from...
If he was attacking.
Maybe attacking. Now, right. It was a very sweet dog, and I loved that dog too, not as much as he did, but I knew that there was a good chance that if things went the wrong way, that somebody could feel the wrath of that dog, right?
And somebody could feel the threat of that dog. Was the dog killed by someone? Or
it ran over.
Yeah, okay.
Just ran over.
Okay.
But my point was that he was out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we see way too much of. And I thought this, too. This went viral. And this is another showing the argument that, yeah, pit bulls can be incredibly dangerous, and similar dog breeds are. And that if you don't think so, even if you own one, you're kind of lying to yourself. You know, just because maybe you've had pit bulls for a long time and they've never attacked anyone, maybe you are a really good owner and trainer and you're able to contain that, you know. And
but if you own a pit bull, you better be
right. That's the thing. You better be, and you better be on it at all times,
right?
So this is a dog trainer, Stoney Dennis, I believe is his name. I hadn't heard of him before this week, but he's gone viral for his interpretation of pit bulls that's been making the rounds online this week. I do want to just play part of this for you.
I think this is really good.
Keeping in mind, this is a big conversation locally right now because of the discussions at the city council meetings.
Welcome back to Bluegrass. It's beautiful July afternoon. I'm out with Max. Max is about a 5.5-month-old pit bull mix. And for the rest of this video, we won't talk so much about pit bulls exactly. We'll just talk about big square-headed dogs because all of the big square-headed dogs kind of have at some point in their origin story ancestors who were bred to fight other dogs or fight game animals or engage in some other type of exhibitionary violence. Okay? And so just to jump right to the end of this video, yes, it is the breed, okay? It might not be the specific breed that follows the bloodlines as they're outlined in the breed registries, okay? But it's the type, okay? And we all know the type. It's like the Supreme Court talks about pornography. You know it when you see it. I know a pit bull mix when I see them, right? And from my perspective, listen, I got a lot of buddies that like this kind of dog. And they really generally don't have any problems with them because they never forget what kind of dog they are and they manage them in a way that's appropriate for the type. But somebody just sent me a video, news story, where a lady had a dog like this and it killed her baby. And she was there. She watched it happen and she couldn't control the dog, right? Okay. So people who get a dog like this and they'll be like, well, if you train it right or if you raise it right, then it won't do that kind of stuff. Well, that's not necessarily true, number one. But then number two, most people that have dogs, they don't really do that good a job of training them. Right? And they definitely don't do that good a job of managing them. So that's kind of a silly argument, right? So when you have these kind of dogs and they're running around killing your neighbor's dog, they're biting a mailman, they're killing babies in front of their moms, you just have to accept the fact that, like, people don't need to have this kind of dog, really, because most of the time they're not going to learn to train them right. They're not going to learn to manage them right. And a lot of times they're just going to literally lack the physical capacity to manage the dog if it doesn't want to be managed. Right?
That's a big part of it, too. You know, just being able to manhandle the dog if you have to, if it comes down to it. And so remember, wasn't that long ago, and I don't remember which part of the city or where it was, but there were people in a neighborhood being terrorized by loose dogs.
Yeah, they wouldn't go outside.
And I don't know how many of them were pit bulls or not, but there were people stuck in their cars that couldn't get inside their homes. And
where was that? Was that in Mobile in the south end of town, or was that up in Pritchard? I don't remember what. If you remember on the text line, the neighborhood that where people were just staying in their cars or in their homes, I mean, that's ridiculous to think you'd have to do that, but that's how menacing these dogs, for real, that how menacing these dogs can be.
Yeah, and so, again, the city trying to get a handle on it, and I think it's because of stories just like that, where people can just loose dogs, and pit bulls are so ubiquitous at this point.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
They are.
You know, I would love your thoughts, and we're seeing a lot of them already. 251-343-0106. We'll get to those on the other side of this break.
823, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, you do. 835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And just a quick traffic update for you. Thank you, Cheese Wagon. That pedestrian that was walking through the Wallace Tunnel has been removed, which is an interesting way to phrase that. Doesn't look like they removed themselves from the tunnel. So another interesting day on the bay. Mm. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis. Let's punch him back in over there, Dan. I think I put him on hold. In the meantime, little inside studio talk there for you. Let's head over to McConnell and talk with Louis. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, another big day at McConnell. Here we are, August already. Still some hot temperatures, but a lot of people getting ready to go back to school and all that that entails. I'm sure some folks are looking for some new rides, too.
That's right. They are looking for some new rides, and we got a great selection of Car Bravo certified cars on the used car side. You check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Just came out 1.9 for 60 months on half-ton Sierras. And we've got a great selection of those, too. We got some Acadias, Terrains, Yukons, Yukon XLs. Mm. So, we're here. It's going to be hot, I know, but just give us a call if you're looking at something online, and we'll get it pulled up, get the air condition cranking, and it'll be cool when you get here.
Yeah, and, you know, Louis, we've talked about it before, and it might even be one of the commercials that's running right now, but McConnell has been, it's like ingrained in the community. You guys have been around for decades and decades and decades, and I was on your Facebook page, and I think it's so cool that you have people whose first vehicle came from McConnell Automotive, and then they keep coming back, and for that second vehicle, and third vehicle and fourth vehicle, they keep coming back to McConnell for a reason, right?
That's right. You know what it says is the salesperson sells the first car to you and the service department sells the second car to you. Mm. So we got a great service department back there, and that's what's helping us out do that. And like I said, we got some great deals on select vehicles out here, so just check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com and come see us.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Raddup. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Well, a $5 mandatory fee at one of Mobile County elementary schools created kind of a bit of a conversation in South Mobile County. Other schools also, it looks like, are part of all this or will be affected by these decisions. But NBC 15 stuck their nose in there, and they talked to Johnny Hatcher.
Yeah, so Johnny, good morning. School starting back Monday. I'm sure you guys are getting ready for that or beyond getting ready for that. But let's talk about this story NBC 15 was diving in on. Kind of tell us how this all began.
Well, I had several people reach out to me through social media, the parents group complaining about having to give fees. And didn't feel like it was right. didn't know what the fees were going for, and so I looked into it, and I found out.
This is at Haskew Elementary, by the way, initially, yeah, right?
Yes. Okay. At Pearl Haskew Elementary is the one in question,
yep,
for requiring the fee.
Mm-hmm.
The law is you really can't even ask for a fee.
And that's state law?
Yes.
Yeah, state law?
Yes.
Through sixth grade, elementary school, basically?
From K through six, you cannot ask. So the parents were really upset about this. Some of them, man, their grandparents on fixed incomes, mm-hmm, raising their grandkids.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
$5 isn't a lot of money to me and to you. If I walk out here and lose $5 out of my pocket, I'm not going to get really upset. But a lot of people out there, they need every dollar they get. And some of the people I spoke to, some of these parents are really in tough shape, especially, you know, because they have to buy spirit shirts and different things like that. There's a lot of fundraising that goes on throughout the school year.
Sure.
And this is just another straw. Just one more straw that broke the camel's back.
So this $5 fee, when you say it was mandatory, what were they saying? Like, if you don't pay it, your kid can't come to school? Or what was kind of the...
Well, they stated in there on their webpage that it was required.
Okay.
It is not required.
So
you do not have to pay that fee. If they want to do the right thing, from now on, they'll request a donation.
Gotcha.
If people want to donate that money, we appreciate it. We have almost $1 billion a year budget. In our system, we give our teachers, every teacher, $1,000 a year per classroom to buy classroom supplies.
Every teacher, $1,000 each school year?
Yes, sir. Every year.
Hmm.
We also send out a list. They send out a list for the kids. I've got 12 children. Out of those 12 children, five of them have graduated Mobile County Public Schools. The other are currently enrolled in school. So we paid our fees. I don't mind it. I know I don't have to pay them, but I pay it.
Well, you got 12 kids, you're paying a lot.
We pay, with everything that we spend in the schools, it costs us about $2,500 a year. That's the truth. And it adds up. I'm blessed. I can afford it. We're not exempt because we are school board commissioners that has been suggested. We pay them. The thing is, do I have to pay them? No, I don't have to pay them. The other people don't have to pay them either, but they don't know they don't have to pay them.
Sure they don't know, right.
And that's where the problems come in. So you cannot, the law is clear, you cannot even ask for it.
So,
but when you require it on top of that, I have a problem with that.
Yeah,
and now
when the language is saying it's required,
absolutely,
that you assume that you're breaking a law or something.
Yeah,
your child's going to be, somehow you're not going to receive report cards or something's going to happen because of you not paying the fee.
Absolutely, and it also stated on there that it was for
first aid
supplies. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
First aid supplies?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We supply that. Mobile County Public School System supplies that. That's in our budget, budgeted in the big budget. So we also supply numerous of other things that these teachers need. But let me just say this. When you talk about a fee is a set amount of money charged for a service, advice, or special right. I mean, that's your definition.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. It's you're not getting any of that. It's a free education.
Yeah.
They deserve to come in there and not have to do it. Now, listen, we get out of that almost $1 billion a year budget we have. Years ago, Nan, I know you remember this. Dalton, you may or may not. But there was a 15-mil levy,
mm-hmm,
that everybody voted for because they were threatened that if they didn't pay it, they were going to do away with the extracurricular activities, mm-hmm, such as sports.
Yep. I mean, that was years ago, but I remember that.
This fee has nothing to do with sports at all.
Yeah.
And yet because kids are still paying for their sports.
Sure.
And they say, well, if they don't have it, we don't charge them. Well, of course you don't charge them if they don't have it, because if they don't have it, they don't have it.
But the point is they're asking for it. So 46 elementary schools, Dalton, were
reviewed
by Mobile County, by NBC 15 in the county. 17 schools listing registration or school fees and Back to School Post, Old Shell Road listed as the highest. They had a $35 art fee and a $10 school fee, I guess you would say. $45 in all.
Yeah, and so how does that kind of, and Johnny, good question. We're talking with Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County Public School Board. I see Joel in Somerdale bringing it up. I think every school, they give you like a list of back to school items. And so often it's things for the class, like napkins, that's tissue paper. You know, everyone listening to this probably knows what's on that list. Mm-hmm. Probably by memory at this point, because they've had to shop for it over the years. What do you see as the difference in getting that kind of a list? And then also what Dan was referencing there with, I think it was the Old Shell Road, $35 art fee. Let's say you're doing something that could be classified as extracurricular. I don't know if in this case art class would be, but a fee on top of that. Where does all that kind of stand when it comes to the state law and what you are or not allowed to ask for?
You can't do it.
So when they give you that list, it's kind of just, hey, if you can, that's great. If not,
if they give you the list, and they here's the thing, I'm not sure in elementary they could even request that based on the law. But I will say this: if they went out and asked for donations, that's the way around it, and that's the way it should be done. If they want to, if people want to donate their money, they should donate it. But making them feel like that it is again, it's a fee, that implies that they have to pay it.
Sure, it does.
We shouldn't be doing that. It's wrong, and I think
it's against the law.
Obviously it is, and that's my thing. You know, we ask these parents and these children to come to our schools and abide by our rules and policy, code of conduct, and yet we can't even abide by the simple law.
So there were obviously multiple schools doing something similar to this or doing that exactly, asking for funds. You've laid out the budget, which $1 billion, and then given $1,000 to each teacher for each school year.
Yeah.
And obviously we are the biggest school district in the state of Alabama, so there are a lot of schools and a lot of children that fall under that umbrella. But I'm sure many people are asking $1,000 for a teacher for a school year. I wouldn't even know where to start. Is that plenty, or is that not enough, or is that way more than enough money to fill up a classroom for a year?
I've never heard any complaints from a teacher. It's never been brought up that they don't get enough. Now there's been a couple people that have, you know, responded to it on social media and claim that they don't get that money till October. Okay, well, that's fine. Any monies you spend before October, I'm sure you can reimburse yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If not, that's when the budget goes in. So they really need to work around that and understand that's when the budget is. Or what we can do is just hold it 1 year and then turn around and keep that money and give it to them before.
Yeah.
The October.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ways to do
problem
it.
Problem solved.
Or they can just go ahead, you know, it'd set them back for a year. But at the end of the day, guys, do you know how many bonuses that we've given these teachers just on top of their monies? We have done several in the past 3 years.
Well, this sounds more like an administrative thing than the teachers themselves.
It is.
So the administrations at these schools are requesting or requiring the way the letter is stated. Or
absolutely. It kind of makes us look bad as school board commissioners. We're not, you know, stewards of the money.
Now you're aware of it, though.
I'm very aware. I'm very aware of.
What do the other school board members think about all this?
I haven't discussed anything with any one of them. Honest to God, I spoke with Lonnie Parsons before I walked in here. He called. I told him I couldn't talk right now, but I'd get back to him. I haven't spoke to him about it at all. I don't know how he feels. I don't know how any one of the other board members feel. I can tell you that I have spoken to the superintendent. The superintendent was very, very adamant that he has already addressed this before. He does not like this.
Mm.
And I don't think this should happen. Now, if they want to ask for donations, they can ask for that. But to imply that someone owes you money or require that they pay you, and it is definitely a violation of the law. You can't do that. That, to me, is wrong. Now, I'm going to look into this deeper, and I'm going to find out where all this money goes. Now, Paul Haskew, I misspoke and said $1,500 because I thought the enrollment was low. It's not. They got roughly 550 kids after looking back. That's over $2,600, $2,700 of influx that that school gets at their discretion just with that $5. Now, that's not including any other fundraisers they do.
How long is this going on? And like this school year, who's paid the money and can they get it back?
I remember being held into a gym one time when I was a kid and couldn't attend class until the fees were paid. That was years ago. Of course, I'm 56, so that tells you, it's been a ways back.
The world was in black and white, not just
right.
TV.
So that's back when you had the little TV on top of the console TV because big TV couldn't afford to get fixed. And it had in rabbit ears up there with tinfoil on it. And I don't know if that really worked or not, but it always made us feel better.
That was the way to get three channels.
So in this Andrew Ramey story with NBC 15, she leads off by saying that fee that Pearl Haskey was asking for has been withdrawn after complaints from the parents and from you, but they also mentioned all these other schools. So kind of what's the next step? What's next for Johnny Hatcher?
Johnny Hatcher is 100%. I want audits done into these schools. I want to know where that money's been going. I want to know if it's making it to the children. That's what I want to know. If this is a slush fund for them and they are, enriching themselves, which I would venture to say it's not. I'm going to be clear about that. I don't think that's the case. But if it is, and it could happen, we'll find out. So I want to put everybody's mind at ease that we're going to track this money and find out where it's going. And we're going to make sure that we're good stewards of the money all the way around. All of our employees are good stewards of this money.
You know, it doesn't sound like a big deal when you're talking about, school fees, schools have fees and your kids have been in a private school for a while, preschool and such. You're used to that kind of thing as a parent. It happens all the time.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But at the same time, I think Johnny puts pretty good perspective on it because he's talking about in many of these areas, you have grandparents. They were not really expecting to be on the take care of their grandkids in many ways. They are the parents of the children.
Yes.
And so they're on a fixed income and that money means something.
I've got a lady that called me in tears because she didn't have the money. She had to take her medication money. She was going to pick her medication up with. She had to take that money, that $45, and her medication was like $170, something like that. But she had to take $45 of that money and pay for registration at a middle school for her child. And she says, I wanted not to pay it because I knew I didn't have to, but I did not want to embarrass my child.
There you go. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So now she's going without her medication.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, very sad.
And Haywood.
Dangerous. It's a medication.
Absolutely.
Haywood on the text line also asked something I was kind of wondering myself. He said, when did MCPSS start giving teachers $1,000 for the classroom each year? Has that been a long-running thing? Or?
I've been there three and a half years, so at least that long.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
it's not nothing new, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
I'm certain that comes from Title I monies. And I've had people say, they restrict what you can buy. Well, tell me what it is that you cannot buy.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't get an answer. They tell me to go look into it. And I'm like, golly, man, I ain't got enough to do.
Schools have got so many needs. I wouldn't think that this is, the last thing I would think is that they're enriching themselves in some way. But
and I agree.
It should be looked at.
And
right?
I agree. But to put that rumor to bed, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I want to put audit into it. I want to make sure we know where this money's going. I want to be able to come back and answer those questions like that gentleman just had.
Yep.
I want to know. And I also will tell you this, at the end of the day, we Mobile County citizens pay taxes. We also elected to vote and pass a 15 mil tax on top of that so we wouldn't be having these fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It sounds to me like people are spending outside their means.
Thanks for dropping by, Johnny.
School starts Monday, right?
Yes.
Right around the corner.
Let me just say this one thing. This is very positive. Our state report card is expected to be outstanding this year. We are academically, we are moving. We are doing really well. Because you always hear the bad, you hear the good. Let's talk about some of the good for a second. We have that going on. We potentially could surpass academically Baldwin County. That could be a reality.
That'd be an amazing reality, it sounds to me.
Absolutely. And let me tell you another thing. We also, the discipline in our school has reduced dramatically. we don't have a lot of violence in our school. And guys, I can sit here and tell you this because I'm in all the hearings.
Well, and the other thing is too, like we're dealing with this, it's numbers. We're looking at data, so it's plain data. Thank you, Johnny, for coming by.
Y'all have a great day.
All right, more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, one of those mornings on Mobile Mornings where we didn't really have to focus too, but we had to deliver some news on a national and international basis, but stuff right around, you know, within a 5-mile district around our studio is enough to carry the day today. My gosh.
It sure has been. And really appreciate all the input on the text line as always. And I probably just need to record a disclaimer that apologizes if we don't and aren't able to get to your text because we get so many in the morning. But let's work through that right now. Texter here says, look what it costs to run a high school football team plus what parents have to pay for their child to play. Yeah, it adds up. And if you're anything like me, you kind of block that from your memory until August rolls around all over again. You go, oh boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh boy.
That's right.
John says, sounds like this guy just barely missed Woodstock. I don't know if that was an age thing or not. I'm not sure. Squirrelverine, so do the Mobile schools teach students about costs so that they, when they grow up and have kids who go to the schools, they aren't surprised? And we also talked a lot about dogs this hour. The texter here said, I've had pit bulls my whole life. If you have guns, you keep them locked up. Same way with a pit bull or any of those kinds of breeds. You keep them locked up or on a leash. And, yeah, too often we're seeing the exact opposite. They're just roaming around.
Well, they picked up 16 dogs yesterday. Not pit bulls necessarily, but maybe some of them were.
Yeah.
But they picked up 16 dogs just roaming the streets yesterday to the point where they can't even accept any new
Yeah,
dogs.
At the shelter.
Yeah.
And that was like a dog bust.
Yeah.
Like we see so often Operation something or other.
And we got word also when we were talking about the roaming dogs, it was in the Morningside area.
Yeah. Butterknife says pit bulls are used for dog fighting and hog hunting. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Another texter here. I hear the sheriff as well as the Men United Against Violence always say the problems of the youth start at home and their parents are absent. Do we think people who can't raise children are going to pay attention to laws about their pets? And
it doesn't mean don't have the law. I mean,
that's another thing, too, is will enforcement work if all of this passes? I'm never surprised really anymore, but I kind of am like raising my eyebrows at how much pushback there seems to be at city council about trying to get some of this put in order and just make it a little safer to walk around.
You wouldn't think that would be that way.
No. 858, Scott Buttram in for Jeff Poor and the Jeff Poor Show. He'll be on the way next.